Well, tonight we're going to be dealing with a subject that I believe we all go through in times in our life, and that's hurt. We all have some hurt times in our life, but I'm going to specifically deal with tonight how to help those who are hurting. I believe we overlook those things, and I hope it'll be a great help to you tonight to see these things take forth. So here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 4. Says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's have a word of prayer again. Lord, again, as you have allowed us to meet here again tonight, we thank you for the great opportunity. God, I pray that you just, again, speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you just challenge us from your word. I pray, Lord, that you just guide my thoughts. And Lord, take away my nerves as they arrive, and I ask you these things in your name. Amen. One of the biggest questions that I get asked is this: how can we help those that are hurting or those who have been hurt? So the first thing that we must do is, during those times, is turn to Scripture, because that is where we can get the answers, and that is where we can get the comfort that we need when we go through those times. Here in 2 Corinthians, you see the word comfort. It's mentioned in just two verses, a matter of five times. You see it as comfort or comforteth, and it shows us the importance of what we are to do. Comfort is a word that we might overlook when it comes to someone who has been hurt, but it is a necessary action that needs to take place. Let's face it, when we go through whatever we're going through in life, whatever has brought us to that position that has allowed us to be hurt, without a doubt, every single one of us in here likes to be comforted during that time. We like to know that people love us. We like to know that people care for us. And we like to know that people are going to be there for us during that time. But so often, during that time is when a lot of people leave. That's when you find out who your true friends are. And we need to take that time in their life and in our life as well to allow us to bring them comfort. When I think of the word comfort, there's one thing that comes to my mind, and that is this. I think of a mother's soothing voice going into the direction of her child while her child might be wailing in tears because he or she has been on a bike ride or maybe a skateboard or whatever the activity that they're doing, and they have fallen and they have scraped their knees, and they're thriving in pain. So I think of a mother's soothing voice at this time. The pain doesn't usually send the child into pure panic. What normally takes place when a child begins to cry is this. When they look down at their knee or they look down at the elbow, they see blood. And as soon as they see the blood, they begin to panic, and they begin to cry, and they begin to scream. But during that time, here's what will take place, and I know this because I've experienced this personally in my life. I've seen other mothers do this to their children as well. But here's what takes place. The mother, while that child is hurt, will try to bring comfort to that child. And here's what normally takes place during that situation. The mother will usually say, "Hey, sweetie, honey, everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right." And it's by that soothing voice, that reassurance from a mother, the child seems to take comfort in that situation. I have told you a story a few times about my pinky, how I was running home from the candy store on 21st and Avenue C. I'll never forget that place. It was called Quick Trip at the time. And Wayne and I, we got some money from our paper route that we used to do. mom and dad decided when we were young, you're able to work, you're going to have a paper route. So I was delivering papers by the age of 2. Just seeing if you guys are awake. On a serious note, I wasn't that young. But we earned our money, and we were able to go and go out to the store and get whatever we wanted. And usually we got paid on a Tuesday, and we were able to go to the store and get some things. And I remember as we were coming back, we were running, I tripped. And I began to fall, and as I began to fall, my hand got caught underneath my chest, and my hand began to scrape against the cement at that point in time, and it tore my fingernail off. And I remember thriving in pain and hurting like no other, but something I'll never forget is the soothing voice of my mother trying to comfort me during that time. Her calm, soothing voice usually does the trick. There is comfort in just hearing the voice of the mother when the child is hurt. This evening, I'm not going to focus on the hurt of the child from a bike accident or a skateboard accident, but rather I want to shift our focus to the ones who get hurt from being not treated properly. And we're going to deal with those things tonight. Everywhere you look, you see people who are hurting. You'll see people hurting in our churches. You'll see people hurting in our homes. You'll see people hurting in our workplaces. People hurt. They go through some very difficult times. And this is what normally takes place. When some people hurt, some will usually keep to themselves. Others, they have no problem by letting you know that they are hurt. But here's a problem that we face. We don't know how to help those that are hurting. It's a problem that everybody is faced with. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. We don't know what to do on occasions. So quite often we go out of our way not even to be around them. We know they're hurting. We can see it on their face. We can see it in their behavior. We can see those things. And we'll go out of our way just to ignore them and not try to bring them comfort. Making it very interesting doing those things as we try to go around them. One reason is we do this is because I believe we have become so absorbed in ourselves, we can truly care less when people are hurting. We're focused in on our own lives and everything that is around us, and we can really care less of the difficulties that other people are going through. We can care less of the hurt. We can care less of the pain. Tonight, it bothers me that a friend of mine is in heaven and they're without a dad. They're without a husband. And they are hurting. And it's our job to bring comfort. It's funny, we want people to be a help and comfort to us during the times that we are hurting, but we're not there for them when they are hurting. The word comfort in this passage is used for strengthening. And when someone is hurt, it is a good reminder that we can give them help. We can give them the strength. We can give them the encouragement that they need to get through this difficult time in their life. It's not a time for us to ignore them. It's not a time for us to go out of our way. But it is a time for us to offer ourselves to them and try to help them in this situation. Later on in this message, I'm going to give you 10 things that we can do to be a help to people in this situation. The first thing that we should do is found in verse number 2. Let's read this again. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." We are His. That's what this verse is saying. We can take this verse and we can go to that believer. By the way, we can only do this to a believer because we're only His if we believe in Him. And we can go to the believer at this point in time as they're going through this hurt in their trial, their tribulation during this time, and we can bring them reassurance that we are God's. We are His property. He owns us, and He will help us through those difficult times. When we are made aware of someone's hurt, remind them, if they are saved, that they belong to the King. Remind them they belong to the King. and remind them that His grace will get them through that hurt, that difficulty in their life that they are experiencing. It's during those times of hurt God is trying to grow us. Take that as an opportunity to allow your relationship to grow closer to God, and not a time to draw away and say, okay, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Do you not love me? Do you not care for me? Well, sometimes those trials and those tribulations come to us because God's wanting to use those experiences in our lives to allow growth so that we can grow closer to Him. And we ought to look for those times of growth during those great difficulties. We belong to the King. He will take care of us during those times. So He's trying to grow us. It's a time for us to be searching His Word. Again, so often when people get hurt and they become discouraged and they begin to do some other things, they play the blame game and then they walk away from God during His times. You know, we can find great comfort in searching out the Scriptures. We find great comfort during those times. You know, you look at the book of Psalms, what did David do? He wrote a majority of the Psalms, and he found comfort in those, writing to God, pouring his heart out to Him. So I would encourage you to search Scripture. Why do we need to search Scripture? Because we need to search it for direction, and we need to search it for healing in our lives. So often, people reject God's Word during this time of difficulty. And they will buy some self-help books that usually has very little to do with God. To reject God's Word is rejecting God. His Word has all the answers that you'll ever need. I guarantee you that. It has everything that you need to get through in life. So with the help of some, here's a list that we should consider for the ones who are hurting and need comfort. First is this: to be gently present. To be gently present. It's not a time to where for us to go away and to ignore the situation. And it's not a time for us to really even say anything, but just to be present during that time. Well, how can we be present during that time? We have phones today. We have ways to communicate that we didn't have before. We don't have to worry about putting a note tied to a leather strap on a pigeon to have it take off and to deliver a message. We have the ability today to pick up a phone and be able to call those that are hurting and just be there for them. We also have the ability to send people text messages. We have the ability to write letters as well, send cards during those difficult times. I believe one of the greatest gifts that Nadine had before her passing was sending out cards. She knew when people needed cards. She knew when they were going through difficult times in their life. And those cards came at the most important times in their life. And it lifted them up. It encouraged them. By the way, I wasn't the only recipient of those cards. There was so many people at her visitation. They got those same type of cards. Just gently being present. Not forcing her way into a situation, not trying to make her presence known, but just saying, hey, I'm there for you. And I want to be there for you. I want to be a help to you. Just be gently present in the form of phone calls, text messages, or even letters. For what reason? For this reason, because God calls us to love one another. We're to love one another. Simple little acts of kindness will go a long way. Number two, practice silence over solutions. We don't always have to try to solve the problem because that's what we normally try to do. Someone automatically, they come over and they begin to tell us what's going on. They begin to tell us of the hurt that they're going through. And so naturally, here's what we try to do. Is, oh, here's the problem. I see what's going on. I'm going to try and fix the situation for you. No, you don't have to fix their situation. Remember, number one, just be gently present. And then practice silence. We don't always have to try to solve the problem. Silence over solution offers awareness of God, of His presence, and the work of the Holy Spirit that can be done in their life. Number three, allow room for the expression of emotions. Allow room for the expression of emotions. It's okay. Men, let me say this, because we know women, they don't have a problem doing this. But men, it's okay to shed tears. I'll say this. You're more of a man if you can shed tears. It's okay to have those emotions. But at the same time, don't allow those emotions to express themselves to where they want to be harmful to others or destructive to property. So allow room for expressions of emotions. Number four, empathize with their experience. We should allow ourselves to share and understand the feelings of another. So often, here's what we do, and I've been guilty of this too. Someone comes to us with a problem, here's what we do. We put the focus back on us. And it's not about us at that point in time. It's about being a help to somebody else. Here's what we do so often when it comes to someone passing away. You know, you want to be a help to them. Oh, yeah, I remember how I felt when so-and-so died in my family. No, it's not about you. It's about what they're going through. Empathize with them. We should allow ourselves to share and understand the feelings of another. And by no means should we jump in and tell them what we really think happened. That's where we make a lot of our mistakes. I've been guilty of that. That's one of the reasons why I appreciate the wisdom of pastor that he has. As he hears a problem, he just doesn't jump in. He thinks about it. He meditates upon it. And it might be 2-3 months later before you even get a response from him. And I think that's wise. Number five. Here's a couple things that we're going to see for number five. We need to see, hear, and love. See, hear, and love. Meaning, I see the pain or I see the challenge that you're going through. I hear you and I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. People just want to be loved during their time of hurt. They want to feel as if you really care about them. They want to know, are you really going to be there for me? They just want to be loved during that time. The sixth thing that we're going to see tonight is this. Offer specific ways to help them. Offer specific ways to help them. Well, how can you help somebody who is hurting? And I said it a little while ago. The first thing that we should do is direct them to the Word of God. Direct them to the Word of God. That should be that should come to us naturally. As someone begins to share their hurt and pain with us, we should have something just flowing off the tip of our tongue and say, "Hey, I know what God has for us. Let's turn to the Scripture, and let's see how He can help you during this time." So direct them to God's Word. And as you try to direct them to God's Word, remind them, and this is important, that He will be with you or with them during this difficult time in their life. So often during that time, people say, "God's left me." No, you're a child of God. God never leaves you. He's always with you. It might seem like He's not there. That's because we become focused upon ourselves and the situation that's around us. But God is always there. He's with you during those difficult times. And we've all faced that. We've all thought that at times. But He's always there with us. Number seven should be a give me on this one. Number six is to direct them to God's Word. Number seven is lead them in prayer. Take the time and remove all distracting obstacles that might be around you at that time. and just gather around them and pray for them. That'll mean the world to them. Again, I'm going to use Nadine as an example. There's on many different occasions where she just grabbed my hands and just prayed with me. There have been times where Linda has done the same thing to me and just prayed with me. There have been other times where many people have done the same thing, where they'll just pray with me or they'll pray for anybody at that point in time. Lead them in prayer. Well, Chad, I might not be with them at this. I might be in another state. I might be in another country. Again, God has given us phones. I think nowadays when babies are born, it seems like they have a cell phone in their hand. That's how much younger it seems as if they're getting them. But we all have phones. I told you Sunday morning, I got a phone call from Logan saying, Chad, I just want to pray with you. Do you got time? I closed my eyes. I know his eyes are closed. And for the next 3 to 4 minutes, he prayed specifically for me, for this church, for this ministry. Lead them in prayer and specifically pray for the matter that they are dealing with. Don't pray for your situation. Don't pray for anything else, but pray for the matter that they are dealing with. Make them feel loved during this time. I will say this as I'm dealing with this particular subject of prayer. So often, here's what normally happens. They'll say, hey, you know, I'm really hurt by what's going on. And here's what normally flows out of our mouth. I'll pray for you. Guilty. I'll pray for you. And we go about our way, and we never pray for them. So I would encourage you to do this. When you're faced with this situation in your life, and you're trying to help somebody overcome the hurt that they are in, don't just say, hey, I will pray for you. Just go right then and there. Hey, let us pray. Let us pray. And pray for the matter that they are dealing with. Pray that God's will be done and not their will or your will. Pray that God will be glorified through the situation that they are going through. Pray that God will, that others will see God as well during this time. Because how we react to some certain things of hurts is very important. Are they seeing God in my reactions, or are they seeing the worldly side of me? So do it right away. Because if we don't, we're more than likely going to forget about it. Number 8, as we continue to go on here, and I know I told you I gave you a list of 10, and some of you guys are probably freaking out. Oh, 10 of them. We ain't going to get out of here until 12 o'clock. No, I'm almost done. I'm on number 8. The 8th one is plan to check in. Plan to check in with them. Again, make them feel important. Be a friend. Don't let time pass. So often we're dealt with situations, just use death for an example. We just heard of so-and-so passing away. We don't know exactly when the right time is to give a phone call or to give a simple text message or something. We don't know exactly when that time is. Let me just tell you this. Just check in with them. Don't let too much time go by. If too much time has gone by, they will probably think that you truly don't care. And we need to show them that we care about them. Number 9, leave room for the Holy Spirit. During this time, we should never take the role of the Holy Spirit. We try to do that on occasions. You can go off to any type of maybe some camp event or whatever, and the preacher will get up there and he'll preach the message, and then somebody will come in and they'll give the invitation. Sometimes it'll be short invitations, 1-2 verses. But sometimes they'll get drug out and drug out and drug out. And so often I've been a part of this, is where we try to take over the role of the Holy Spirit and we try to walk the people down the aisles ourselves. It's not our job to be the role of the Holy Spirit. That's His job. So leave room for Him to work. He's the only one who can truly bring the comfort to the ones who are hurting during this time. Then the last thing as we go through this, and we'll be done, remember who this is about. It's not about you. It's not about you. And so often we make it about ourselves. I've heard this from people's mouths that I love. Oh, now you're putting the situation back on you. Oh, now it's all about you. It's not about us. It's about them. I'm going to give you one more, and this is number 11. And if this is you that is hurt, we're talking about the ones who are hurt, but this is if this is you who is hurting, let others be a help to you. Don't reject it. Let others be a help to you. And finally, the best place that we can get help while we're going through the hurt in our life is through God and through the local church. It's through God and the local church. We all experience hurt. We all go through something some way, somehow in our lives. And that last statement that I just made is so true, because there have been many times that I have been hurt, that I have come to church and have found great peace and strength because, number one, of God, and number two, because of the body of believers that God has allowed me to worship with and the comfort that they give during that time. We don't have all the answers. We shouldn't try to have all the answers. But what we should do during this time when somebody's going through this is just to try to be a help to them. Have we all failed in this area? Yeah, we have. Can we become better at it? Most definitely. And I hope these 10 things tonight can be a tremendous help to you. And I hope that through this, you'll be able to recognize people who are hurting and be a blessing to them in their life. And you don't have to go up to them and try to find out all the juicy details, because that's what we try to do. We want to find out all the dirt and the goop and all that good stuff. Because once we find that out, oh, hey, man, I got some dirt on so-and-so. No, it's not about that. It's not about for us to get all the juicy information and then begin to go gossip with somebody. It's keeping it to yourself with them and taking it to the Lord in prayer. It's not for us to try to figure out all the juicy details. Today I received an email I've been waiting for the last couple months. Next week I'll be going in for my second interview for the police department for the chaplain. And there's another form for me that I got to fill out. And I'm excited about this opportunity, to be honest with you. And as I'm looking through this form, there's some questions that I got to answer. And one of the questions is, well, it's not a question, it's a statement. As I was looking at the questions, this statement comes up. It says, when you are dealing and when you're being a chaplain to the men and women in blue, they're going to come to you with things that they'll never go to anybody else about. They'll never go to their spouses about. They'll never go to anybody else in uniform about because of the things that they've seen on the job. And in the statement it says, it's not your job to take that information and to go out into the community and to begin to tell everybody else. When we were in a chaplain's conference here a couple months ago, there's one guy I really got to like there. And he's involved in so many different chaplaincies with the Coast Guard, Air Force, Police Department, so many other things. And I remember him talking. He says, gentlemen, he says, there are some things that I know that I have been entrusted with that I can't even tell my own spouse about, because they come to him during a great difficult time in their life when they're hurting. And so when people come to you during that time, there's going to be times where you're just going to have to keep your mouth shut and take it to God, because that's what we're required to do. So with that being said, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I thank you that you have allowed us to come to Scripture tonight and see where we can truly find comfort, and that is in you. God, I pray for the ones that might be here tonight, who might be going through some hard times, who might be hurting, who might be very private about some things. God, I pray that you would begin to work in those situations. God, again, I pray for the Sealander family. I pray for the Williamson family as they're going through some great hurt in their life. Lord, help us to partner with them and pray for them, Lord, daily. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.